Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Good morning to you. It's about 20 minutes to 7. It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning. And I am a hypochondriac, so I look very forward to hearing this segment. And now I get to participate in it. This is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Kevin Most joins us right now, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Wendy, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to talking to you about a new study that said music can help in pain treatment. I like that. Another great thing music can do.
Yeah, you know, and Wendy, as we're trying to take care of pain, you know, we're trying to get away from opioid use. We're trying to really find more ways besides just giving a pill to eliminate pain. So certainly this study out of McGill is very interesting, fascinating. It'll probably look at how do we treat patients even in the hospital setting who are having pain and discomfort, nonetheless in a home setting.
Yeah, music, when I had my first son, Michael, 24 years ago, we were playing Bob Marley in the delivery room. I was told that the beat of reggae is that of a relaxed human heartbeat, and it was pretty calm in that room, believe it or not.
Was that the music you chose, or was that the music they just happened to have?
No, I chose it. That and a little thing called a Mr. Freeze or a Flavor Ice, that saved the day when you're having a baby and you can only have ice chips. Get the flavored ones. But yeah, it really helped. I really believe music can do that.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I think you're starting to see more and more hospitals actually even have music therapy as one of the options for patients to ask for or for a doctor to ask for.
That's excellent.
If you think about even just going out and exercising, when you put on your music and you're listening to songs that you like, we actually exercise further, we do more things, and we stay active more. But this study specifically looked at pain, and it looked to say, okay, tell me what kind of music is going to help you. You know, we always think, oh, play some relaxing music and that will, you know, decrease pain. When in fact, that had nothing to do with it. The relaxing music had no impact. What actually had an impact was the music that emotionally tied to the individual. So their favorite songs. And it actually showed a decrease, not a decrease in the pain, but a decrease in the tolerance for the pain.
I've heard this with Alzheimer's patients as well, where if you play a song, it will help jog their memory a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, it brings back a memory.
Yeah.
It triggers something there. We've seen it actually even in cancer patients that using music will actually help a little bit with their appetite as well as their pain. So I think we're just kind of scratching the surface as far as other ways that we can eliminate pain and discomfort without using medications. So certainly music is going to be in the forefront of a lot of people's minds right now. And it'll be very interesting to see how we roll this out in the clinical setting on a regular basis.
Interesting. The magic of music, that's for sure. All right, let's talk vaccines. I am not going to tell anybody what to do. However, I will mention that when people stopped getting the measles vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella, like the mumps were pretty much eradicated, and then it made a comeback in the NHL. It came back at Disney because people weren't getting vaccinated against it. Now, I understand that the percentage of kindergartners who received their vaccine for measles, mumps, rubella remained below the federal target. Again, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but if your kid's going to go to school with my kid, maybe they should get vaccinated or homeschool them. Your thoughts?
100%. We have to remember that even a fully vaccinated child still has a chance of getting, you know, no vaccine is 100%. And I think you hit it on the head there. When we looked before and everybody was getting vaccinated, we had high vaccination rates. What happens? Measles was eradicated in the United States. Mumps was pretty much gone. Even pertussis was way down. And look what's happened just in the last few years. You talk about the NHL outbreak with mumps. We talk about the whooping cough outbreak in Iowa that really opened up our eyes to going, oh my gosh, we need to give a booster now. And we do that. We're giving boosters to grandparents before their grandchild is born because we don't want them to get exposed. And measles, absolutely. Measles, the most contagious disease we know of. And sometimes, you know, before we had it, we had deaths from measles. We had people in the hospital for measles, and that's just ridiculous when a simple vaccine can not only protect your child, but protect those around.
I never had the mumps. Should I think about getting a vaccination?
Well, I think we're all going to start looking at, okay, you know, the measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR, you know, the one that you get at 12 months, and then you get a second one at 4 to 6. We thought, okay, maybe that's lifelong immunity. But I think what we're really starting to go is, wait a second, it may not be lifelong immunity. What it was is that we vaccinated so many individuals that it protected all of us. Now we're starting to see, wait a second, people coming in from other countries that are unvaccinated and have these illnesses, do we still have that lifelong immunity that we got immunized as a child? So I think that's what we're going to be looking at now and saying, which diseases do we actually need boosters for that we thought we wouldn't in the past? And pertussis is probably the biggest one there.
Am I imagining things, or did polio come back somewhere? Did I read that in the news somewhere?
Well, polio is still around in the United States. If you go to third world countries and undeveloped countries, they certainly do still have cases of polio, which is unfortunate. But certainly we haven't seen a case of polio here in the United States in a long time.
All right. Because of the polio vaccine, perhaps?
Well, yeah, exactly. How about it?
All right. And we are talking to Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. He's Dr. Kevin Most. And strep throat is on the rise, and there's a shortage of antibiotics. This does not sound like a good formula.
Yeah, it's not a really, it's one of those perfect storm kind of things. And unfortunately, we're seeing strep on the rise. That's not unusual at this time of the year. Kids are back in school. They're starting to do more activities. They're starting to be in more close contact. So we certainly know that we're going to see it. The problem is that when we see it and then we, do the simple swab to test for it, identify it, we want to start treatment right away for two reasons. One, the child is contagious, and two, they're sick. You know, we don't want this to go on to be scarlet fever, rheumatic fever. We want to treat the patient as quickly as we can. The most common treatment for it is something as simple as amoxicillin. And when kids are small and younger, we use that in a suspension form. So it comes in a powder. We reconstitute it. The bubblegum medicine, people used to call it. But unfortunately, there's only four manufacturers that make that medication right now, and they can't keep up with the demand. So, the biggest message is if you need it and you have the prescription for it and you're talking to the pharmacist and they say, oh, we don't have it, but we'll have it in a day or two, it's time to call another pharmacy to make sure that your child is treated as quickly as possible.
Do you kind of build up an immunity to antibiotics? Because my doctor had prescribed Z-Pax, which is zithromycin?
Zithromax.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, it works sometimes, sometimes it doesn't. Do you get an immunity to antibiotics?
Well, it's interesting the way you propose the question, because Z-Pak got to be, and I'm going to say this facetiously, the antibiotic for viral infections. So in other words, we overused Z-Pak. We used Z-Pak when it was a virus, not a bacteria. So antibiotics are great to fight off bacterial infections, but they do nothing for viral infections. So often, unfortunately, doctors say, you know what, I can't say whether it's bacterial or viral. Well, let's try the Z-Pak because it's simple. You only use it for a couple of days, and it's a really good antibiotic. Well, two things happen there. One is it's not going to do anything for a virus. The virus would have run its natural course, so people think it's reinforced in their mind that the Z-Pak works. And the bad thing is every time we expose bacteria to antibiotics, the bacteria gets smarter. So if one of those happens to be now resistant to the Zithromax, well, Zithromax will no longer work on that bacteria. And that's what we have a big problem right now is the overuse of antibiotics for viral infections because patients, want something. I feel terrible. Give me something. I want to feel better in a couple of days. And it's tough to hear the message of, you got a virus. You're going to have this for 5, 6, 7 days. And take Tylenol and fluids. No, I want to be better tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I do want to jump in. He doesn't give it. He makes me wait for it, but he always seems to give me Zithromax as opposed to other things. So I just wondered.
That's exactly what he should do. And it's like, hey, I think this is a viral infection. Let's watch it for a couple of days. If it's not getting better, if it's not turning the corner, okay, then we'll start the antibiotic. But yeah, we don't get more resistant to the antibiotics. It's just the bacteria and how they are resistant.
Understood. 219 has texted us this morning, Dr. Most. I received the COVID booster on November 9th. Does that cover the new variant?
Yes. And it's interesting, vaccine that we're getting right now is based on the XBB4 and XBB5. So there is a new variant out, but fortunately it's in the same family. So we're finding that the coverage from the vaccine, the booster vaccine, is very good, which is encouraging because it's going to allow us to then have an annual COVID based on whatever strain is out there. So knowing what we know right now as far as how COVID is changing, I think we're going to be able to stay a step ahead of it with vaccines. And now people are saying, you know what, it's only just a bad cold now. And assuredly, for the most part, it's fairly tolerable now because most people have some protection. But I would say, I don't know about you, but I don't want the risk of long COVID. So I'd rather take the vaccine and not get COVID at all than not take the vaccine and tolerate a bad COVID infection.
I have a family member in his 30s who has long COVID, and he just started a new medication and is really struggling. So it is real and it is there, and you have to be careful. My question, Dr. Most, I had COVID very mild this time around about a month ago. Do I have to wait to get a vaccine, or is that long enough where, just to be on the safe side, I can get vaccinated?
Yeah, you don't have to wait, but if you just had it recently and tested positive, which is, it's good that it was a mild case, because now you have great natural immunity for at least the next 90 days, better than what the vaccine is going to give you. So what I would say for you is, you had it a month ago, wait another couple months, right around the first of the year, maybe early January, go ahead and get vaccinated. It'll take you all the way through the spring. But unfortunate that you got it. Great that it was a mild case, and that's because you had been vaccinated in the past. That's kept it mild, and certainly have some great natural immunity now for at least the next 3 months.
And my 21-year-old son, had never had it before, and he was the sickest out of all of us because he had no immunity at all, just vaccines, but he never had it. So we've all had it now. Woohoo!
Even Jimmy Mack, huh?
Although he missed it this time, and he got vaccinated, so he's ahead of us.
Good.
Well, nice checking in with you. Always a pleasure.
All right, Wendy, you take care. Always good to talk to you.
Stay healthy, Dr. Kevin Most.